The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Back on the numbers game for hour number three. SiriusXM channel 158, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course SiriusXM channel 158, which I believe I said twice now. It's Gil Alexander here on the numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Happy New Year. Still to come, Sia Najad will join us, as will Jeff Parlay, the Grover Cleveland of producers. We get tweets of beating the book. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs one. He says, hey, man, this is great. I don't dislike all the unpositivity on today's show. I'm also not appalled with the wrestling banter. Is Weiler sure that Nick Bockwinkel is not a top five all-timer? Peace and love and double negatives. Wyatt Tomchek making his impact in just one appearance in for Kelly Bidlin today after Danny Higgins. Yeoman effort for 4 days here in for Kelly. Wyatt Tomchek with a double negative parade on Are We Sure? And now Wyatt has a complex about it. He goes, I didn't do that many double negatives. It's very difficult to answer in Are We Sure? Of. Are we sure that someone not named Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz cannot win the Australian Open or something like that? Scott, New York Mets 16. Oh, this was not lost on me either. He says, Gil says he's never been on a cruise and hears nothing but horror stories, so Dr. Bob suggests a tour. Maybe a three-hour tour, Bob? Oh, I see what you did there. Little Gilligan. Three-hour tour? That didn't end up so good. Ladies and gentlemen, he's one of our toughest bookings ever. You may know him as producer number 5 and producer number 8 from this here little program, A Numbers Game. We affectionately call him the Grover Cleveland of producers. If I was as clever as Matt Hicks behind the scenes, who suggested what we should have done is have Parles do one segment, then do something else, maybe another guest, and then have Parles come back just in tribute to the Grover Cleveland reference. Maybe we should have done that. Jeff Parles now does his thing here, local radio in Las Vegas, and I want to get the deets on this correct. Jeff Parles now he can tell us. ESPN Las Vegas. I don't know the call numbers. That's the thing. I don't know the frequency. He can tell us now. Jeff Parles, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Parles. That's P-A-R-L-E-S. We call him Parlay. Jeff, good morning. How you doing, man?
It is great to be with you, Gilly. 1,100 and 100.9 here in Vegas. I had to double check that myself to make sure that I didn't mess it up because there's been some frequency changes with some of the stations over at the building. So, but we're still there, 1,100.9 here in Vegas. It's awesome to be back with you. And by the way, Gil, I only said yes because it's time check today. If Kelly was here, I might not have said
that's,
yes.
That's a hard no is what that is, apparently, from Parlay. how often, before I get your thoughts on college and pro football, how often are you on, would you say, weekly on the radio?
Well, I'm on today. Okay. So you'll hear me at 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific. I've been doing Mondays throughout most of football season with Steve Cofield. And two to three times a week, you can hear me on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, you're part of Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. Want to give him a shout as well. Okay. Let's talk college football. First of all, are you betting any bowls beyond the quarterfinals? Are you doing anything today in any of the three bowl games? You're not touching.
No. I'll go back to one of your favorite lines of mine from off the air on college football. It is what it is, especially in bowl season where it's impossible. It's impossible. I mean, just look at the look at the Hawaii Bowl the other day. Like, that was an awesome game.
Yeah.
But, like, Cal dominated for a quarter and a half, two quarters. You're like, all right, this is easy. And then Hawaii comes back and wins with the second string quarterback for one throw. So these bowl games are so hard. And then, like, you get UNLV's awful effort against Ohio. Like, you have no idea. So only the playoffs in college football for me, Gil.
Yeah, that is my favorite Jeff Parles line. There were some other ones, but I can't say those on air. But that was my favorite on-air worthy line, which is college football, comma, it is what it is. That was Jeff's way of crystallizing college football. All right, as for the quarterfinals, let's start with the Friday night New Year's Eve game between Miami and Ohio State. Which way are you going on that one?
Feels like a lot of points with Miami that you're getting just because they have a great defense. Now, you have the big issue, and Gil, this is another one you and I talked about a ton back in the day, even at different stops. I mean, Cristobal's a mess. We know this. We know that Mario Cristobal is more than capable of costing Miami games. We saw it this year. But this feels like a ton. If you got those early numbers, the double digits, job well done. Miami's defense is awesome. Reuben Bain, to me, is the second best player in the country. The problem is Ohio State has the best player in the country in this game, Jeremiah Smith. So, again, it's just going to be a matter of can Miami and Bain and that front get enough pressure on Julian Sain? Can that secondary hold up against Smith and Tate, who are both awesome? And how does Carson Beck look against a high-end, great Ohio State defense? If you're making me play this, I would only take the points with Miami. I think they're live to win the game, but it does concern me that Beck will have a turnover in this game that will lead to Ohio State points and flip this game on its head. So it would be take the points with Miami, but I like Ohio State to advance.
Okay. The only thing that concerns me about that game, Jeff, and this is what concerned me about Ole Miss in their game, is that until yesterday, I didn't get anybody on anybody but Georgia, right? It was all Georgia traffic. Finally, we got an Ole Miss play. I don't think we've had anyone on Ohio State. That worries me. I don't think we've had anybody on the show who's like, Ohio State, lay the wood. So that's a little concerning for sure. We go to New Year's Day, whereas, I like to say, no rando bowl games. We used to be that kind of thing where you just have rando bowl games besides the ones that actually count. It's just the remaining three quarterfinals games. Which of those do you have the most conviction on?
Texas Tech. I have the most conviction on the Red Raiders, which is interesting because I've been batting this game around with others, and I feel like it's strong one way or the other, Gil. I know a lot of people are very strong on Oregon. I don't know as many that are as strong as Texas Tech as I am. Look, when the bracket came out, Texas Tech was my pick to win the whole thing because I think they have the best defense other than Ohio State. And Ohio State, and look, it was all conducive on Miami beating A&M, and they did. Miami is better than A&M on that side, and Ohio State's going to have to see Georgia. And look, for Texas Tech, this is not an easy game. The Ducks are highly explosive. Dante Moore has been playing significantly better as the year's gone along. They have a great running game. They have a really good defense. But Texas Tech's defense is the one thing that, even with playing in a weaker conference than Oregon and the SEC teams and Ohio State and Indiana, who very well Texas Tech may have to play three Big Ten teams if they're going to win the title, that defense is legit. They have the best linebackers in the country. They have the best front four in the country other than Ohio State. So to me, Texas Tech's defense travels, and the only real high-end defense Oregon played this whole year, they lost to. And Indiana's defense is not as good as Texas Tech's defense, and that game was in Eugene, and this game's in Miami. So to me, I like Texas Tech. The biggest concern, Gil, there is a big quarterback advantage with Oregon, with Dante Moore over Baron Morton. But I like Texas Tech's defense that much that I like the Red Raiders. That's the one on New Year's Day I have the most conviction on.
Of the other two games, so the last two games chronologically, if I came to you and I said, hey, Jeff, one of the dogs, either Bama against Indiana or Ole Miss against Georgia, one of them won outright, who did? What's the answer?
I got to really not like myself for saying this because I've been on the Alabama didn't deserve to be in this playoff train the whole way. But Alabama beating Indiana would not floor me. Ole Miss beating Georgia would floor me.
Yeah,
I just think that Georgia matches up so well with Ole Miss. We already saw it in the regular season. It's a coaching advantage especially. But look, the Rose Bowl, it's such a fascinating betting game too, Gil, because even before the season, forget 3 years ago, that this would just look like if you plop someone on Earth after not watch, like they went to outer space for 3 years and like, hey, here's the 2026 Rose Bowl. Indiana's a touchdown over Alabama. They were like, what the heck happened here?
Yeah.
It's just incredible. But, that Oklahoma comeback, and look, I thought the Sooners were really not any good. I thought that offense was terrible, even though they had a high-end defense. When Ty Simpson, and this has been the case all year, when Ty Simpson's had time to throw, he has been really good and has had the opportunity to pick apart high-end defenses like he did against Oklahoma in the last 40 minutes of that game. Indiana's without their best defensive tackle with that fluke injury in the post game in Indianapolis. But again, I think Indiana wins, but I would be far more shocked if Ole Miss went to New Orleans, beat Georgia, even though Georgia, they've seen them already this year, then Alabama beating Indiana. Gil, I think we get straight chalk straight up. I think the teams that had the byes end up winning, unlike last year where none of the teams with the byes won their games a year ago.
All the favorites win, you say, a money line, and the dogs you would take, you would take Miami if you had to, plus the points. Does it sound like you would take Alabama plus the points, or am I?
I'm going to steer clear of that game. I need to see how Alabama's offensive line does. That's really the big thing. I'm going seed chalk. I do. Texas Tech is a dog betting wise, but seed chalk for me in the quarterfinal.
Okay. And then since I asked those questions bottom up and seems like a double negative kind of day on the show, let me ask this question bottom up. Give me the teams of the remaining eight. Give me the teams that cannot win the national championship, in your opinion.
That cannot win the national championship. It's only Ole Miss. Everyone else can.
Even Bama. Bama can win it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Bama's not a talent issue, right?
Yeah.
Like their talent is still amazing. It's been effort more than anything else. That's been their biggest issue, and toughness, which is kind of stunning for what it's been with Saban up until these last 2 years with DeBoer. But Ole Miss is the only of the eight that I don't think can win the title.
I said the same thing earlier on the show. I thought Ole Miss is the only team that I think can't win. Even Bama can. And that's what makes this college football Final Eight very akin to what we're seeing in the NFL, which is it's never been this wide open. I don't think we're being prisoner of the moment on that. Jeff on the week 17 that is in front of us anyway in the NFL. On the other side, Jeff Parles, everybody, on a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Just like with Christmas yesterday, you may have plans for New Year's, but we aren't going anywhere here at VSiN. You got your full sports betting broadcast schedule intact on New Year's Day, starting with VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Rolling through a numbers game. Kelly and I will be here. Prop points, money moves, follow the money. VSiN Prime Time, cash it out deep into the night as you're counting down to 2026. And kicking off the new year, VSiN will be right there with real-time betting coverage across the CFP, NFL, NBA, and more. Spend your new year with VSiN, the non-stop home for sports bettors. There you go, the non-stop home for sports bettors. Looking forward to it. And obviously a big day of football, talking about the quarterfinals on New Year's Day itself. So we'll be talking about that and be with you on air while those are happening. Speaking of college football, we were supposed to go on to Week 17 in the NBA with Jeff Parles, who's my guest, Jeff Parlay, who... is at ESPN Las Vegas now here locally on Cofield & Company, co-host of that radio show here locally. Jeff, obviously, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland producers here. Jeff, we have breaking news in college football, and this is, I can only describe it by saying, wow, we have a new head coach at the University of Michigan. It turns out Michigan isn't waiting to see whether Alabama loses and Kalen DeBoer will be available. The new head coach at the University of Michigan is... Kyle Whittingham. Wow. Kyle Whittingham, who has been the head coach at Utah for 2 decades, and before that was a defensive coach at Utah all the way dating back to 1994. So he has been at Utah forever. I mean, we're talking over 3 decades when all is said and done. Total head coaching record there of 177-88. Utah coming off a 10-2 season this year, where for their efforts they get the Las Vegas Bowl as their trophy this year. But Kyle Whittingham going to Michigan, Jeff, I'm glad we have you here. What's your reaction to that?
The reaction is wow also, because it was this thing where we thought that Whittingham was retiring at first, where we saw the report about 2-3 weeks ago that Morgan Scully, who's been the coach in waiting in Utah for a while now, was going to take over. I just assumed, oh, Whittingham, sad enough, he's going to retire. And then he had that interesting comment about a week after it happened of, I'm not retiring. I'm really in the portal. I'm like our players. I'm in the portal.
Interesting.
There's something along those lines, which is caught my eye. I was like, oh, okay. Let's see what job opens up next year. Then obviously everything with Sherrone Moore happened. And I thought it was going to be Kalen DeBoer the whole way, because I thought that this is a great escape hatch out of Alabama for DeBoer, where just hasn't worked culturally for him down there more than anything else. But this, look, with how messy this program has been for everything behind the scenes over the last 5, 6, 7 years, however long you want to go back now, Winningham makes a lot of sense, Gil. He wins. He has usually good hard-nosed teams. And I have never heard of a problem with the Utah football program. So makes a heck of a lot of sense. But it is a wower just with the fact that, like you said, he's been in Salt Lake City for basically 3 decades at this point.
Yeah, I think you made the best point right there, which is exactly what you see. So, by the way, this is per Dan Wetzel of ESPN. I want to give him a shout for this, for breaking this. That it is the... There's never been an issue. No one has ever made an issue of anything Kyle Winningham at Utah. And it's not only coming off Sherrone Moore, which is obviously the biggest example of this, Sherrone Moore with all the allegations and the arrest and everything that's happened with that. It was Jim Harbaugh, right? There were issues there as well, sign stealing. And then that was, so this is a, in terms of, this is a very deliberate, it feels like a very deliberate choice that the Michigan the University of Michigan alumni, and not alumni, but really their trustees and those in charge, the president of the university, they're making this very deliberately. And I think you're right. I think that as much as the football is involved, that's just as much involved in this.
100%. And again, like you said, everything with not just what's happened in the last month with Moore, it's just dating back to the Harbaugh. I mean, if Jim ever wanted to go coach in college, he's got a show, a multi-year show cause. Like Jesse Minter probably wasn't considered for this because Jesse Minter is a one-year show cause. So makes a lot of sense. Makes a whole lot of sense now when we were talking this out, Gil. It's just still on the surface. It's just a wow, because Utah football is Kyle Winningham and Utah football are synonymous with each other.
And Jesse Minter, by the way, is still, it was still part of the Harbaugh family of coaches, right? So I think they probably wanted to completely detach themselves from that, and boy, have they done so with this. There you go. Kyle Winningham, not only the 177-88 career record, 10-2 this year with Utah, but Mountain West Conference champs back in 2008, two-time Pac-12 conference champs were the Utes, four-time Pac-12 division champs, if you will, as well along the way. So, yep, there you go. Breaking news, Kyle Winningham, the new coach of the University of Michigan. My goodness. All right, to the National Football League, week number 17. What we have left after that bizarro triple header yesterday. Anything tomorrow? Yeah. Let's start there.
Yeah, I like the Chargers. So go right back into Harbaugh, right? So this is more a fate of Houston than it is me really liking the Chargers, because this Texans team, they have, Gil, they're very frustrating to me. Because they are the best, their defense is the best unit in the AFC. I don't think there's any arguing that. But their offense is a disaster. And they were very lucky to beat the Raiders last week. I mean, the Raiders completely outplayed them by the box score. It just, the Raiders found a way with those, and the refs honestly got in the way too with those two ridiculous DPIs that really saved Houston more than anything else. But CJ Stroud has not been the same guy for really 2 years now, after that amazing rookie year where we were all talking about just how badly Carolina messed up. Doesn't look like Carolina messed up that badly anymore with how Young has played, especially this past year. But look, I like the Chargers. This feels like a grinding, ugly football game where in the end, I like Herbert a lot more than I like Stroud. These defenses are close enough. And I think Harbaugh's got a huge advantage over Ryan's. There's no doubt that Ryan's at some point in this game is going to have an opportunity to be aggressive, but he'll kick a 42-yard field goal on 4th-and-1 like he seemingly does every week. So I like the Chargers. I laid 1.5 earlier in the week. I didn't get the 1. I laid the 1.5. Still like it at 2. If he can find a better money line price than -130, I would probably look at that as well on LA.
Yeah, we're simpatico on that, man. I laid the 1 on Monday morning on the Chargers as well. Very similar handicaps to that. Anything on the other game Saturday between the Packers and the Ravens?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing, because if I'm Green Bay, I wouldn't play either of my quarterbacks in this game. I'm in the playoffs, and Chicago, look, you would need Chicago to lose twice in order to win the division. I would just make sure that my quarterbacks, both Love and Willis, are fully healthy. I would even, I don't know, Tomczyk would have to help me out on who the third stringer is, but I would not even bother. And Baltimore, I think Baltimore is just beyond dead at this point, Gil, especially with Jackson sitting out again.
Yeah, I will emphasize it enough. I don't think I emphasized it enough earlier, but I like to do so in these situations. By the way, the answer to your quarterback question at this point is I don't think anybody is rostered right now on the.
Perfect.
They'd have to go practice squad at this point. What was that?
What's Sean Clifford doing these days?
So here's I will say this again though about this kind of matchup, because again, for those who missed it, the Lions lose yesterday means the Packers are in the playoffs. They are secure that they will not be knocked out. But then there's the notion of, okay, but they could still win the NFC North. They could still get up to a number two seed. And I just want to point out, again, that as fans and bettors, we sometimes overrate that thing, right? In other words, in or out is one thing. Number one seed or everything else, that's definitely a thing too. But the difference between being a two or a three, obviously you want to get a home game, so there's that. I'm not saying there's no motivation. But at times, if it's the difference between, say, and this is not the case with the Packers, but in situations where it's the difference between, say, a four seed or a two seed, where it's just home games no matter what for the wild card round, we oftentimes overrate that. We're not quite there with the Packers. They are 4-point favorites now here at Circa hosting the Ravens, and I'm with you on the Ravens. Steelers' magic number is one. If the Ravens lose this, Steelers legitimately will have nothing to play for in their last 2 weeks, because they're pretty much locked into that number four seed at that point. Anything Sunday? What's your favorite thing Sunday or Monday?
We're a load of lumber with the New England Patriots.
Wow.
Talk about a team that's beyond dead. The Jets are beyond dead. Beyond dead. And them starting Brady Cook and Aaron Glenn going with he gives us the best chance to win just tells me that the Jets brass knows that losing these last two games are critical for their future success. So, and they haven't been competitive in 3 weeks. So I think New England rolls them and the Patriots win. They win the East. So I like that. And I also like the Niners on Sunday night against the Bears. I was all over Chicago before the year, loved them to win the North at the price that they were there, liked them to make the playoffs. But I just think their luck at some point's got to run out. And for their sake, they better hope it runs out in this game and not in 2 weeks from now. So I like the Niners short home favorites against the Bears as well.
Man, you and me both on the Niners too. It should be noted, the Patriots play laying the wood is against his own Jeffrey Parlay's New York Jets. That's his team. So he knows of what he speaks there. Jeff, appreciate it. Thanks for making the time. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, man.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thank you, Gil. Thank you, team at Veasan.
Jeff Parles, everybody. That's P-A-R-L-E-S. Jeff with a J on the old Twitter machine. We'll come back. See you, Najad, on the other side. Week 17, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, score 2 pounds. 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus save 50% site-wide. When you shop omahasteaks.com/vsin, from legendary steaks to crowd-pleasing appetizers, Omaha Steaks makes game day easy and delicious. Man, this is a tough promo to get through without getting hungry. Don't wait. Get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/vsin. That's omahasteaks.com/vsin. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. We get tweets. Beat of the book. This is from the numbers guys. As producer, can Wyatt put Grover Cleveland on the moon or at Amen's Corner with that green screen? Wyatt not responsible for the green screen behind Jeff Parlay. Jeff Parlay responsible for the green screen behind Jeff Parlay. Cancer-free from stage 4 NHL since May. The listener who said Christmas is on Saturday in 2026 because next year is a leap year. Oh, yeah, I caught that. Really? Leap years are every 4 years. Same year as POTUS elections. 2026 is a Friday. 2027, Christmas will be on a Saturday. 2028, it will be on a leap year Monday. Oh, it's going to be on the 29th? Is that what you're saying? The year that it's on the February. What am I saying? We're talking about Christmas here. Yes, 2028 is the leap year where we get a February 29th That's when Christmas will fall on a Monday. By the way, do you know any leap year children, people born on February 29th? I do. It's very odd for that person. Michael Burns, good to hear Parles back for a couple segments. By the way, how was the leftover Chinese? It was great. Thank you for asking. Appreciate that. Superjerk, Kyle Whittingham is like the most far-out hire I've ever heard. I will say this again, for those who missed the news, the new head coach at the University of Michigan is Kyle Whittingham, who was the head coach at Utah for two decades, was at Utah as an assistant coach beyond that, even a decade before that. Remember, this is how long ago it was when he took over the head coaching job of the Utes. He replaced Urban Meyer, remember, after that 12-0 Utah team with Alex Smith back in 2004. So he's been their head coach since then. And I think Parlay hit it on the head. As much of a football move as this is, it is also a brand move, a very deliberate brand move for Michigan. Let us, what is the furthest thing from Sharon Moore behavior that we can find? Kyle Whittingham fits the bill on that. Nary a scandal in all his years at Utah. Also, of course, two-time Pac-12 Coach of the Year back in 2019 and 2021 as well. Dan, DPS 01844. I took EGA minus 125 to win any slam in 26. Positive EV or square? That is a plus EV wager right there, my friend. Ray in Texas. I'm being serious. Ray in Texas. I was loading up 3,000 Amazon boxes from my closet in my truck to go to the landfill. Had the show on. And impeccable timing when JVT led me to lie to my kids again, hear them cry, run to mom, and tell her daddy's radio said Santa's not real. Awesome, just awesome. Ray in Texas, I apologize on behalf of JVT and all of us here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And Mike Rouse, this leads us into our next guest. Please ask Sia about his Addison parlay that almost hit yesterday. Why? It's Sia Najad, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He joins us now on Twitter, at Sia Najad, by the way, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Great to see you, Sia. Always a pleasure, by the way, Sia doing big things all over the place. The latest iteration of Sia, though, host and analyst for Sportsline over there. Sia, good morning, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all of that, man.
Good morning, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all of that. I am the Addison thing. Do you want some background on
please.
That, Gil?
Yes, please.
So for every primetime game, I tweet out a reverse or negative correlated play, which is usually an under receptions play for usually a wide receiver, an under receptions play, an alt over on receiving yardage play. That's where the negative correlation comes in. And I'll throw in an anytime touchdown. I've actually hit a few of those on the year and people like them. They're fun bets. You just throw $3-5 on them and you can hit a 30, 50, 80 to one shot. Well, Jordan Addison was my play under 3.5 receptions, 50 plus yards, anytime touchdown, which looked like it hit if you weren't watching the game, because you look at the box score, you look at the tweets that come out, Jordan Addison goes for 65 yards. Problem was, instead of a push pass, it was an end around and he ran it. So unfortunately, the anytime touchdown hit, but we didn't get the over receiving yards because it was a rush instead of a pass.
Oh, man. Well, he gave it a run. By the way, Sia, known for also his first round golf bets. You excited for golf season to resume? Did you need this break? Do you need more of a break? Or are you excited now?
I never need a break in any context, okay. Gil. I do shows every day, and that's by choice. You might have noticed if you watch my content, I don't take vacations, and I certainly don't want to take vacations from my most profitable sport, which happens to be betting golf, specifically golf round matchups, outrights, things of that nature. But this break is way too long, in my opinion.
All right.
So we're going to revisit golf, I guess, starting in mid-January. I cannot wait for that.
See, I feel downright sorry that I even asked with that kind of a strong response. Let's go to the worst of the NFL games on paper, Giants-Raiders. It is the battle for the number one pick in the NFL draft, though. The bizarro battle, if you know what I mean. You have a side and a prop in this, though.
Yeah, it's the prop that I like more, and I will admit, I think in some places the line's moving against me on the side, which I should say is the Raiders money line at home. I like Ashton Jeanty over 69.5 rushing yards. This has moved since I took it, but it hasn't moved dramatically. You can get it 70, 71, pretty much at every book. So here's the thing. You look at Ashton Jeanty, and somebody might be listening and they might say, oh, he's just chasing last week where he exploded against a very good rush defense or good defense in general in the Houston Texans. I'm not really chasing last week, although I do think that's good momentum coming into this week against, of all rush defenses, the New York Giants. I think what's most important when evaluating Ashton Jeanty and this offensive line and the Raiders in general, yeah, it's a bad team. It's a bad offensive line. Might get healthier if Colton Miller plays this week. Let me tell you the last, let's see, seven or eight teams they've played. So the Texans last week, they played, and just think in the context of rush defenses and defenses in general. Texans, Eagles, Broncos, Chargers, Browns, Cowboys with Quinnen Williams, Broncos, Jags, Chiefs.
Wow.
That's a who's who of top 10 rush defenses. Yeah. So I do think you get a reprieve coming off a great game against another great rush defense. You get a reprieve against the New York Giants. And I happen to think Pete Carroll wants to win these games. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be there next year. So he's trying to go out with wins. So I do think the Raiders are going to try and put their best foot forward. I know Brock Bowers is on IR and they've got some other issues, but I think Ashton Jeanty gets enough carries and enough explosive runs against this Giants defense to get to 70 plus.
All right. Ashton Jeanty over 69 and a half rushing yards and the Raiders money line in that one. If you didn't like Giants Raiders, Sia's got some Saints Titans for you. You got a trio of props in this one.
Yeah, and this is a little chasey as well, but I don't know if you noticed, Gil, but not only, and I'm sure you did, I didn't actually mean that, because you notice like rookie of the year stuff, offensive rookie of the year, like Tyler Shuck is now in that two slot for offensive rookie of the year, and part of the reason for that is because he's just smashing it from a passing yard standpoint. He's actually been really efficient as well, but you look at the last six, seven games, he's routinely throwing for about 240 plus, and I like his over 222 and a half passing yards, particularly against the Tennessee Titans defense, which I got to give a little bit of credit to, because their rush defense has actually been pretty good, mostly since Jeffrey Simmons came back a couple months back. But the path to crushing the Tennessee Titans is through the pass, and Tyler Shuck has just been doing that. Chris Olave is a guy he's been passing to. I like Olave's over two at 67 and a half receiving yards. I'd play it up to probably 70 and a half. Again, it's a little chasey because, you know, Olave absolutely exploded last week. But what I love about Shuck is his condensed target share. It's basically Juwan Johnson and it's Chris Olave. So I like him to get over 222 and a half. And I will say this, one thing Tyler Shuck isn't doing is passing for touchdowns. We know there's a lot of variance when it comes to that. And there is a bit of a Taysom Hill problem as well, but for over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Tyler Shuck, you can get that at plus 160, maybe even plus 170 at some places. Again, when you account for just variance with touchdowns and the fact that he's projected to get at least 220 passing yards, I think plus 160 is a pretty great number on something that hasn't really come true a lot lately, but certainly could against Tennessee of all teams.
All right, let's go to, instead of living in the dregs of the NFL, let's go to one of the top teams. If the Niners win this weekend, Sia, beat the Bears Sunday night, and then they take down the Seahawks next week in what could be, or what looks to be, no matter what, the battle of the NFC West to win the NFC West title, and for the number one seed, by the way, in the process as well, if it plays out that way, where the Niners win out or the Seahawks win out. That's what we're looking at right now, the scenario for the Niners. Win these next two, and they get the division and the number one seed. How are you betting this?
I'm betting them to win the division anywhere between plus 200 and plus 215. I mean, I give credit to the Bears. It's going to be a hard game in Seattle, but the Niners get both of those teams at home, which I think is super significant. And again, Gil, I'm sure you've covered this as well. If they get that number one seed, I mean, they can play through the Super Bowl at home, which is absolutely bananas. But again, they're going to be favored in both games. Admittedly, against Seattle, they're only going to be like a 1-point favorite. But I expect them to beat the Bears, and that number plus 215 will probably get a little bit shorter. I think I like them to win the NFC West, again, because they're playing so well on offense, but because they've got two games to go at home.
Yeah, five potential straight home games, home in quotes. They will be technically the visiting team, but they will be playing at Levi's Stadium in the Super Bowl if they are to get that far. Only the Niners at Stanford Stadium in the Joe Montana era, that was the closest we got until Tom Brady and the Bucks had themselves a home, in quotes, Super Bowl appearance a couple years ago. Sia, a pleasure as always. Is that a new picture behind your right shoulder? Is that new? Because I know Santana Moss was
It's
same.
Not, but I am gonna get a new helmet. The right shoulder is Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. I've had that one up there.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. See you. Thank you. Happy New Year, my friend. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me on.
See you, Najat, everybody. We'll recap all the best bets next on A Numbers Game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. It's It's Gil Alexander. Wyatt Tomchek back in the chair. He's spent his time in the penalty box for the double negative parade. He's back out now.
Well, you know, Gil,
5 minute major for slashing.
You know, I'm going to be with you next Friday, so I'll have another opportunity to.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, really?
To redeem myself.
This Bidlin kid just takes off whenever he wants to, huh?
Yeah, Kelly's 2 weeks, right? Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was 1 week, but I remember me and Danny. We need to switch next Friday because.
Wait, so Kelly's back on Monday, but then he leaves again on Friday?
No, I think Kelly's out all next week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He didn't tell you.
I wish someone told me that. All right. Kelly's out next week. That's news to me. Okay.
Yeah. You got good old Danny there. But
I had no idea.
I have a flight that I need to catch, and I can't produce money moves and make that flight. So we bumped up.
Ladies and gentlemen, they don't tell me anything around here. We get tweets of beating the book. Ryan Thompson. Yes, Ryan, you are correct. I forgot about this. Rams beat the Bengals at SoFi. So we had back-to-back Super Bowls where the team won the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Now, whether they were treated as the home team or the visiting team, because the Niners will be the visiting team at Levi Stadium this year, but it's still their home stadium. So we had the Bucks won at Raymond James in the pandemic year, or after the pandemic year, I should say. And then the Rams beat the Bengals at SoFi. That's right, the next year.
Does it count if you share a stadium with someone?
That's true. It's a half a stadium.
Yeah, half a stadium.
That's right.
Well, let's go three quarters because the Chargers get right. No fans there.
It's their stadium still. This is from, let's see here. This is from Steve. I'll read this one first. Steven Brosek, 1870. This is very nice. He says, since today is the last day to wish you happy holidays. Happy holidays, I guess. It's not the last day to wish happy holidays, Brosek. Last day to say Merry Christmas. You can say happy holidays. He says, what's next? I have to wait until Monday to wish you happy new year? For real. Love the show. Thanks for being part of my day every day. Thank you, Brosek, 1870. It's very nice of you. Thank you for being part of our day. Couldn't do it without y'all.
Now, me and you, we have a bond over The Wire and Curb, your enthusiasm.
That's right.
What was the time frame that Larry David said that you can wish Happy New Year's?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't remember either. There was a whole big skit about how long.
The person who says Happy New Year, like on January 10th, it's a little much.
Yeah.
There's definitely a shelf life to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you get 24 hours.
Oh, I think Happy New Year goes further than Merry Christmas, but you don't get more in a week. That's okay. For sure. And this one is from LFC Title Records, who tweeted earlier, who's been a part of the show. He says, thanks, Gil, and the rest of VSiN for making this road trip fly by. He's driving from Minnesota to Las Vegas, 22 hours. He says, except for JVT, a.k.a. the Grinch, I didn't have a Gentile ruining Christmas on my VSiN bingo card. I'm sorry, John didn't mean to. John was smart about it, though. He's like, should we have pressed the dump button for that? I think we should have in many ways.
I'm glad that overshadows my doing today.
I don't even want to repeat what he said because I don't want to ruin it for other kids around this great nation of ours and beyond in England, wherever else you're listening. Okay, recapping all the bets. I am, again, these are the three bets that I made earlier in the week. Chargers -1 versus the Texans, -2 now. I'd still bet it anything below a 3. I'm all about the Chargers. For, again, reasons stated, which I believe that I am way higher on the Chargers than the market. I don't know about way higher, but I'm higher than the market is, generally speaking, games and just futures on the Chargers. I added Chargers finalists, Super Bowl finalist bets, 28-1, Chargers-Rams, 66-1, Chargers-Niners, in case the Niners get the number one seed. I feel like this Chargers team in a wide-open AFC, and you just heard Dr. Bob talk about this. I asked him about what are his rankings in the NFL. He's got the Rams 1. He's got a healthy Eagles squad 2. He's got the Seahawks 3, which begged the question, which I asked him. So who's your number one AFC? He said, the Bills, I guess. But it is wide open, he acknowledged. And for me, it's the Chargers. In addition to the Chargers play on Saturday against the Texans, I'm on the Panthers +7.5 versus the Seahawks. I bought it to the hook on the 7.5. And on Sunday night, Niners -3 versus the Bears. Great Sunday night football game. Implications abound, as we have talked about ad nauseum. Also, I still have the Hoosiers to win the college football championship at 10-1. I got Miami in the quarterfinals +8.5 versus Ohio State. I thought it was going to go the other direction, so I grabbed the 8.5 on an impulse. Shouldn't have done that. Texas Tech +1.5 in the tightest of all the line games against Oregon. Indiana -6.5 versus Bama. Georgia -6.5 versus Ole Miss. Those are the college football plays. And I added in the NBA, not picked. Oh, there it is. Now it's pictured. Spurs to win the NBA Finals at 19-1, and Spurs Celtics NBA Finals matchup 125-1. Thinking that if Jason Tatum comes back, this becomes a sneaky good bet here. I have said it before on the show. I'll say it again. I had seen enough of the Spurs on the first time when they played the Thunder in the NBA Cup semis. But respected NBA minds around here, Kelly, Drew, sort of looked askance at me when I perhaps went a little too crazy about the Spurs. But listen, Carl Sack had the Thunder with laying the points yesterday. I was like, I don't like that. Finally, 6-point lead in the first quarter yesterday. I was like, I've seen enough. I can't hold myself back anymore. I don't care what anybody says. I'm making the bets, and I did. JVT, the aforementioned JVT, more known for other things that happened during his segment, but he has himself a 6-point teaser. Texans +8, Titans +8.5 is his teaser of the week. So he's got a Texans Saturday leg and a Titans Sunday leg for his favorite 6-point teaser of the week. Then after JVT came Dr. Bob. Bob is on the Browns +3. That's his play of the week. In a stellar season from Bob on this show and in general, but especially on this show, where he has just been on a heater in college and pro all year, he's on the Browns +3 versus the Steelers in a game that might not mean anything to the Steelers if the Ravens lose on Saturday. The Steelers will have clinched a playoff berth and, of course, the AFC North title if that is to occur before they even kick off on Sunday against the Browns. But that's not his main reason for playing the Browns, but that would be an added sort of thing in the mix as well. Browns +3 from Dr. Bob. Jeff Parlay was here as well, producer number 5 and 8 here on a numbers game. He, too, is on the Chargers. -1.5 is where he got them versus the Texans. He, too, is on the Niners Sunday night, -3 versus the Bears. But in between, he is fading his own Jets, laying the wood with the Patriots, -13.5 versus his New York Jetropolitans. And then also, by the way, in college football, he's all about Texas Tech, I believe he said. Is that correct? Did he say Tech? He's on Texas Tech? I thought he
liked it, but it wasn't official.
Okay. Maybe not. Okay. And then with the Sia Najad, our final guest here on the show, Sia had a bunch of props in a bunch of poo-poo platter games, if you will. Ashton Jeanty over 69.5 rushing yards for the Raiders against the Giants. He's also on the Raiders money line in the game for the #1 pick in the draft, whoever loses. By the way, if they tie, Giants, #1 pick. But still to be determined the final week of the season in that case. But here you would win a tiebreaker as well if you lose. In the Saints-Titans game, Tyler Shuck over 222.5 passing yards from Sia, and Tyler Shuck over 1.5 passing touchdowns at +160. I like his point about the fact that touchdown passes is a little more of a variable thing than the yardage. Chris Olave in that same game, over 67.5 receiving yards as well. And his one future is the Niners to win the NFC West. Niners just have to win out. They win the NFC West. They'll get the #1 seed. They'll get themselves a bye. And as we pointed out, every game will be at home for as long as they play this year. That's what is the case. That's what's staring the Niners in the face. Niners team to win the NFC West +215 is how Sia played it. But let me just say this again, because we started the show with this. You take a team like Washington, whose season was lost with injuries. The Washington Commanders lost more games to injuries for starters than any other team in the NFL this year. Not a good enough team, not a deep enough team to overcome that kind of thing, right? The Detroit Lions, tons of injuries. As it turned out, not a good enough team to overcome that this year. Chargers, super banged up offensive line. Guess what? Good enough team to overcome that thus far, right? And it looks like moving forward. But the ultimate example of that is the Niners, who you can look at. And maybe they haven't had the most games lost to starters like Washington has, but the names that they've lost games to, right? Nick Bosa, even more so than that, the captain of their defense, Fred Warner, really the engine that keeps that defense going. We didn't even mention guys who, like the Brandon Ayuks of the world, who they were kind of counting on, which didn't really ever materialize. So, I mean, there's tons of that with the Niners as well. So they're the ultimate example of a team that it doesn't matter how many injuries they've had. They've been deep enough and they've been coached up enough to overcome it all. And are now staring at a #1 seed. Imagine if they had all their players. It's incredible.
It's a team that I don't want to see in the playoffs. Nightmares that they've given Packer fans over the last handful of years. But we know how good Kyle Shanahan is in the playoffs to get to at least an NFC championship game. That's kind of their minimum when they are this good.
Last 20 seconds, you're a Michigan fan. You happy about Kyle Whittingham?
I was surprised. I did not expect his name to be brought up for the head coaching job.
I was too.
For a guy, I like him as a coach. He has done nothing but win at Utah with fewer resources, a no-nonsense type of guy, and a guy that Michigan needs after everything that has happened over the last handful of years.
Kyle Whittingham will not be making calls at halftime or after national championship, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, Michigan went 9-3 and their coach was in DMs all the time.
We've done all we could do. Happy New Year. Money Moves is next. Stormy and JVT. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.